Amen. You may be seated. Amen. How many of you folks got up to family camp this week? Amen. It was a great time. Good services. I encourage you. The Wisconsin District has a YouTube channel. You can search for that. And they have those messages posted there. It'd be great to re-listen to them or catch them for the first time. Amen. It's good to see everyone. In his autobiography, the famous lawyer and leader from India, Mahatma Gandhi, wrote about his student days in South Africa. He read the gospel seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in the teachings of Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of his beloved India. Surely there was a religion out there somewhere that would free his people from the cruel system that kept dividing his nation deeper. One Sunday, he decided to attend services at a nearby Christian church in Calcutta and talk to the minister about what it looked like to become a Christian. However, when he entered the sanctuary, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested he go worship with his own people. That service was only for people of high caste status or for whites. Gandhi was neither. He left that church and never returned to it. And this is a quote. "If Christians have caste differences also," he said, "I might as well remain a Hindu." Although he was not able to find those differences and prejudices in the Gospels, sadly they were present in a church and an usher who called themselves Christian. That usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from finding salvation through the gospel. The attitude Gandhi encountered influenced him to permanently turn from Christianity and dedicate himself to spreading Hinduism to India's millions, despite the rigors of the caste system. How different might India's history have been if the usher had displayed Christ that seemingly insignificant Sunday morning? What a story. I had never heard that before. We got to learn from Jesus. He compassionately reached out to Jews, to Gentiles, and Samaritans. We need to learn from this unnamed usher who turned to seeking Gandhi from Christianity because of prejudice. We've got a hospitality team here at Calvary Gospel whose members are hopefully welcoming people. And then there's each one of us in the pew who hopefully do the same. It'd be naive for us to think, however, that there are not examples of indifference, these days right now, yeah, that too. Some of y'all are sweaty and turning people away. No, condescension or simply unconcern. That's a big one, unconcern. We just don't think about it. And that could turn folks away. Those attitudes can do irreparable damage to the perception that guests have of the body of Christ and Jesus himself. What a challenge. And that's what today's lesson is all about, showing the love of the Lord to everyone through our actions. So we're going to talk about the Gentile revival. We've been talking about covenant in our Sunday morning adult Bible class, and today we're going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 10. The church was first formed on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, and the folks that were present in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was first poured out were Jews. Only Jews were included. But God had plans for more people than just the Jews. We think about Acts 1:8 when it was talking about this prophecy. What does it say? Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." This that promise. And yeah, we're all Jews. Great. Awesome. No, it doesn't stop there. "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." Sweet. The Jews. No, it didn't stop there. "In all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We talked about this last month when we taught on the Great Commission, but Jesus' command was for his disciples to take the gospel to the end of the earth, not just Jerusalem. His plan was getting ready to unfold, and God was about to use an unlikely candidate to kick open the door of salvation to the Gentiles. It begins with a vision that was not given to a Jew. Was given to a Roman centurion named Cornelius in the city of Caesarea. The fact that the gospel to the Gentiles began there and with that man in that town is fascinating of itself. Caesarea was the seat of the Roman government, the epicenter of the world's power. And Jews hated Rome. Jews hated their government and their armies. And guess what? Guess who Cornelius was? He was a centurion, an officer of the Roman army. Acts 10:1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, meant that he commanded 80 to 100 men. A typical Roman soldier would have been raised and schooled in Roman arrogance and pride. It would have been normal for them to feel superior to the Jewish people, and they would have treated the Jews as such. They were the dominating force in the world at the time. Meanwhile, throughout Israel, calls were being made to overthrow the Roman dominion. Most Jews, including the disciples of Jesus, thought that the Messiah was going to be a ruler that did just that, that would overthrow Rome. God was getting ready to overthrow the powerful Roman Empire in Acts 10, but he was going to do it with the gospel. So though he was Roman, the Bible doesn't speak of arrogance and pride found in Cornelius. Rather, in Acts 10 verse 2, it says this. It says he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius feared God. He prayed always, and he gave generously to bless others. Then in verse 3, it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. What an awesome reminder that God notices every effort we take to draw closer to him. He sees our prayers at home. He sees our consistency in the Bible reading. He sees everything that we do. And Cornelius was an unknown centurion. And with the Roman standard in mind, his men probably didn't even know that he worshiped God in his private life. This unknown centurion got God's attention because he stepped out of his pagan upbringing and reach up to God in faith. And so in verses 5 and 6, it goes on, the angel instructed Cornelius to send men to a man named Peter who would tell Cornelius what to do. God even told Cornelius right where Peter was. He's at this guy's house in this city. Cornelius didn't know that this preacher had the keys to the kingdom. He didn't know he would open the door for Gentiles to become part of the Church of Jesus Christ and to enter into covenant with God. God was offering salvation to the whole world, and he was using supernatural visions to do it. I love Cornelius' response. Verse 7, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he began to think about me like, I don't know, maybe that was the cheeseburger I had. Maybe it's the condensation, and I'm just sweating. It's too hot here, Caesarea. No, when he had departed, there wasn't a space there. I mean, there's a comma, like pause. And then Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Verse 8, so when he had explained all these things to them, he told them all about it, he sent them to Joppa. He didn't wait. He simply obeyed. He didn't question. He obeyed. He didn't try to figure out who this Peter was. Well, let me look him up. Let me ask some other people. I don't know who Peter is, so let me figure out who this dude is. No, he just obeyed. He had a vision and he obeyed. He heard from the Lord and he obeyed. What a lesson to us. This is a Gentile. He obeyed. Meanwhile, while God was laying his right hand on Cornelius, so to speak, his left hand on the other side of things was on Simon Peter in Joppa. That's a city. As Cornelius' men journeyed to Joppa, God gave Peter his own vision. The Lord was bringing these two worlds together. Peter's vision took place in Joppa in the house of Simon the Tanner. This man Simon and his occupation as a tanner is actually mentioned three times in the book of Acts. It's not a passing thing. It keeps being repeated, and it definitely calls us to notice where Peter was staying. In the house of a tanner. So cool. He made hides and stuff. But it's important because we need to understand that a tanner was at the furthest edge of acceptable society for Jews. Why? Jews typically shunned that occupation because they handled carcasses of animals. So they were considered unclean by the Levitical law. Those who made their living handling dead animals, especially tanners, had to live a certain distance from the city. So this was kind of an ostracized Jew. And it was at his home that it became the launching pad for the church to go to the off limits. Jenna, you think a tanner is bad, but God's about to take them to, wait a minute, non-Jew people? I don't believe it was an accident. God placed Peter there for the vision. Peter was on the rooftop where he could see the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa's right on the sea there, stretching out to the nations of the known world, even those the Jews wanted nothing to do with. So we continue on, Acts chapter 10, verse 10, and this is Peter. And then he became very hungry, wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now some of you are like, yeah, he's just hungry. No, once again, this is the Lord speaking or showing him a vision. And he saw, verse 11, heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. You look at those animals, they were unclean animals. Well, no, that'll help you understand. God had an emphatic message for Peter. The sheet had four corners, was filled with all kinds of creatures, indicating that God's church was to accept all peoples of the earth, from the north, south, east, and to the west. The voice told Peter to eat, but Peter refused, arguing it was something he had never done. Just as Jesus said to Peter three times, feed my sheep, in John, when he called Peter to the work of God, and again, he commanded Peter three times to take the next step in spreading the gospel. I want to point out, the not accepted Gentile, Cornelius, had a vision and immediately obeyed. All right, let's go. Peter, not so much. Peter, the spiritual one. Peter, the disciple of Jesus. Peter, who experienced all this. He hemmed and hawed and like, well, you know, that's not the, I mean, God, those animals, I shouldn't eat. And he wasn't getting it. And, you know, he argued with God. God used Jewish dietary law to deliver this great message of inclusion. Jews were very particular about their eating. It was in the law. You can eat this, don't eat this. Jesus was clearly saying to Peter that a new day had dawned and everyone now had a seat at the table with Jesus Christ. The gospel was to be preached to all of humanity. And the Jewish church must go forward into all the world, even into the Gentile world. Acts 1:8 coming to fruition here. You know, right now it's an exciting time as far as the gospel being spread around the world. I followed this channel on YouTube, Itchy Boots. Weird name. Thank you, Jeanette. That's exactly the reaction I was hoping for. Like, what in the world? It's actually a single gal, and she rides a motorcycle all across this world. It's really fascinating because I have nothing to do with motorcycles. I have no interest in motorcycles, but it's just I'd like to expose myself to things that I don't know. But she's traveling. She actually traveled through Iran earlier this year, and a little portion of it, and then Iraq, and then she was in she went through China, and this is like remote stuff. So she's fixing things on her own. She's been doing it for dozen years, but it's interesting because the whole point of that, besides, hey, go take a look because it's mindless entertainment, is that she's Dutch, so she knows English, she knows Dutch, which is the Netherlands. They just lost in the World Cup glory, but anyways, obviously, she knows a little German, a little French, surrounding most Europeans do, but she's still able to communicate to these different cultures. Why? Because there's translation apps. And I remember one episode, she was just like, you know, said she was asking a question, I forget what it was, blah, 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 and then she'd hold it up and it would read the translation to the guy, and the guy was like, blah, 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 and then hand it back, and it would read it to her in English or Dutch, however. And it's amazing the technology we have. We've got social media. With it, communication with other cultures and languages is possible in ways never thought possible in previous generations across the world. Some of you probably have gotten emails. The church get emails all the time from Pakistan. We want to partner with you. We want to partner with you. Yeah, you want the American money. Got it. Sounds good. But you be kind. But that's the possibility. Before, you couldn't do that. You know, anybody got a Nigerian uncle, prince uncle? Yeah, come on now. You know, we got it's a scam. If you're wondering, if you're going down that path, that's a scam. Just a little. But the possibilities are endless as long as we keep our ears tuned to God's voice. He's calling everyone around the world to repentance. And just like God brought Peter and Cornelius together, God still will work to bring those with the gospel together with those who are hungry for the gospel. So don't tune out God. You might be the next Peter. You might, I'm not a disciple. You might be the one where you go into a store and God says, talk to them. Go witness to them. Go reach out to them. So the question is, are we listening? Are we on the proverbial rooftop allowing God time and space to impress on our hearts who to talk to? God's vision of making disciples should be in our minds. Okay, God, who's next? Who should I talk to? Who should I teach a Bible study to? Who should I reach out to? Who should I have a kind word to? Who should I invite, Lord? When Peter had the vision of eating unclean animals, his first reaction was total rejection. It was against everything he had been taught. The Spirit kept speaking to him, and thankfully, Peter kept listening. God was not only revealing to him that righteousness is not through keeping Jewish law, but God was also telling Peter that he was declaring the Gentiles worthy to hear the gospel and be born again. I love God's timing because he didn't give the vision at the same time. No, he had already given Cornelius' vision. They were already on the road. Peter's uncertain. He's got questions. And what happens? Verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, I'm still trying to figure this out, God. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. He's trying to figure this out, and there's a knock at the door. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, dude, you're still questioning. They're downstairs. They're at the door. Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Stop arguing. Just go. And be like Cornelius, dude, and just go. Get up and go. And, yep, Peter's on the roof. Folks from Cornelius arrive downstairs. God's like, get up, get going. And being led of the Spirit, Peter finally stepped out in faith into a whole new world of uncertainty. Often God will call us out where we are comfortable and familiar. He'll call us out of that. It's human nature to prefer the known. This is my box. This is my world. But our walk of faith requires us to step out into the unknown and obey God's voice sometimes. The Christian life was never meant to be a cozy, settled-in lifestyle. It's boldly trusting God and sometimes walking into uncomfortable settings to carry the gospel to all people. The scripture says, go ye all in the world and preach the gospel. It's the call to the church. It's the reason we exist, to spread the gospel. However, global missions is not just overseas. Global missions includes the United States. It's part of the globe. It's part of the World Cup. We're going to win tomorrow night. In Jesus' name. I'm sure God cares. includes the state of Wisconsin. We're part of the United States, which is part of the globe. It includes my village of Marshall, which is part of Wisconsin, which is part of the United States, which is part of the world. Yeah, Marshall, Cottage Grove, DeForest, your Madison, your neighborhood. It's part of the world. It's part of global news. It includes Sunnyview Lane, where I live. It's not exempt. You know, now don't go come on. There's a lot of streets on Sunnyview. Good luck finding me. But it includes every one of them on there. Includes my neighbor on this side and that side. Colin, Lisa, Jason, and Amy. Includes Scott and Sierra, live down the road on Sunnyview Lane. Glory. We have church on Sunday View Lane. Jesus told his disciples to start in Jerusalem, right where they were. Start here, folks. Jerusalem is our families. Then the Bible says to go to Judea and Samaria. That's our community, our neighbors, our coworkers, those we run into at the grocery store, those we buy eggs from, Brother Brunker. Amen. And I'm a recipient of those eggs. Glory, hallelujah. But that's our Judea. That's our Samaria. That's our surrounding. Then it's the ends of the earth. It's sometimes easier to have a burden for people across the sea than for people across the street or across town. Oh, I'll send missionaries. Like, oh, wait, you want me to go to my neighbor? What? No, Lord, I'm just going to give to the church and let the church somehow magically outreach. No, it's all of us. It's all of us going out and talking to folks. We need to pray about those that we come in contact. Sometimes there's conflict. Sometimes there's even a natural prejudice that maybe we were raised with or just not exposed to certain cultures. And so we just have this, you know, we're not comfortable with it. And so we need to pray about those things. It can be a challenge. You got to pray about the neighbor. If they keep letting their dog over on your side of the grass and poop, you know, you got to still love the neighbor. Love them anyways. Bless that dog, Lord. Help them, Lord. Just pray. Pray for the neighbor because they still need Jesus. We should examine our feelings about the people close to us and say, God, am I open? God, am I listening? Who should I talk to? But like Peter, we've got to pay attention to what God is speaking to us. Being uncomfortable and having a desire to avoid dealing with people is not a reason to ignore them when it comes to the gospel. Just because you're uncomfortable, just because it's a little awkward, if God says, go, take that uncomfortableness with you. That's courage, is taking the fear with you. Like, do it. That might be just the person we're supposed to reach out to. That person that makes you feel uncomfortable, that person that you keep running into. When we take the time to open our hearts and open our ears to hear God's voice, God might just give us a vision or a fresh word in our prayer time or Bible reading. Let's be open to be led of the Spirit. So Peter travels from Joppa to Caesarea. I'm sure when Peter entered Cornelius' home, he was not really sure what God had in store. However, he walked in boldness, confidence that God was with him. Verse 25 says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Dude, I put my pants on one leg at a time, like Bishop used to say. Like, I'm just a guy. Like, come on, God put us together. I'm nobody more special than you. He understood the gospel makes everyone equal. The centurion was no better or worse than the disciple. So Peter did what he knew to do. He preached the gospel. Cornelius had done what he knew to do. He opened up his home, a full house of people that were hungry for a closer relationship with God on one side, and on the other, Peter, who preached Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It was the same message he had preached to the Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Peter honored Cornelius by going to his home. Cornelius honored Peter by calling his entire household to hear the sermon. And then the amazing happened. Verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as come with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Power comes when the word of God is preached. No matter where it is, the Holy Spirit fell on the entire household of Cornelius, and just like on the day of Pentecost, everyone received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. It was a miraculous move of God. You've got to understand why the Jews who were with Peter were astonished. The Holy Spirit had been poured out not on another group of Jews, but on the Gentiles. These are the folks that, I mean, we're the Jews, we got to be separate. We got to be holy. We're the chosen people. And God is revealing to all those folks, Peter and the people that were with him, like, this is for everyone. This is for everyone. God waited only for Peter's obedience, and God showed up and poured out his Spirit. When we step out in faith to the call of God, we can be confident God will reward our obedient faith in ways we thought impossible. Once they were all filled, spirit-filled, Peter realized God had welcomed the Gentiles into covenant, just like the Jews had. So he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ as well. Their new birth was complete. They had repented of their sins, been spirit-filled, and were then baptized in water by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That pattern Jesus had prophesied, it came to pass from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and finally to the end of the earth. God's called each of us to be like Simon Peter, to people who need to hear the gospel. The same Peter had been too weak to stand for Jesus, denied him before the cross. Remember that? That was the same Peter. No, I don't know God. No, I don't know Jesus. No. And he was the same Peter who then stood up on the day of Pentecost, preached to the Jews in Jerusalem. And it was the same Peter who now had great courage and bravery to declare the truth to the Gentiles, to everyone. Again, we don't have that caste system or that mentality, but because we have folks here from all walks of life. But you got to put yourself in Peter's shoes. This was breaking ground. This was brand new, like what a you know, light bulb moment. This is for everyone. That's what Acts 1:8 meant. To go to everyone, everywhere. I fought it, but I went. And there was hungry people that were Gentiles. And they were filled just like we were. They were baptized just like we were. We can't be afraid. Fear will always be a challenge when we take the message of salvation to those we know and those we do not know. God is going to reward that kind of bravery when we exhibit it in our lives. Amen. Some of you are going to get offended, so prepare your hearts. I was raised overseas, and so, and man, culture has changed. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, because the individual was not offended at all. But you might be offended for them. Take it up with the Lord. I grew up in Greece. I grew up around different nationalities, one of which was a lady from India. She was in our church. Her name was Benu, sweetest lady ever, powerhouse of prayer. And was in the church all the way through. We visited when my parents retired back in 2014. We all went over there. She was still there, passed away a few years later, had been in the church all that time. Faithful woman of God. But because of that, the Indian accent has been a favorite of my brother and I and my sister. My sister sent me a birthday video a ways back, and she was dressed in a sari because she bought one when she was over there, and she was had Indian music in the background and using the accent, and so this is something, and it's very offensive to this current culture, so be offended. That's what I know, and so I'm offensive because I use Indian accents, I do different accents. Again, I try to just do it with my family who don't get offended, but I felt led to lead the story. So to my surprise, I'm at Target. My side job is I do shop and deliver. And at the Sun Prairie Target at the checkout, they audit your order that you're not stealing something and all that stuff. Lo and behold, a guy started helping. He was an employee, new employee. And right away I knew he was Indian. But I wasn't sure. And I don't assume. And so I checked him out and we greet each other and all this stuff. And so, like, second time, and the third time, I finally had the guts. Even though I'm super comfortable, I had the guts, like, hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from India. I'm like, oh, awesome. I'm like, yeah, and then I told him a story. I grew up in Greece. I was, grew up around a lady from India, and I actually have, and this is where, I took a risk. I'm like, I actually love the Indian accent so much that I have Indian Siri on my phone. And he starts laughing. He's like, oh, my wife has that too. And I'm like, isn't it amazing? I'm like, and then I tell the story where I'm trying to do voice to text or voice, and I'm like, remind me tomorrow at 8 a.m. to take out the trash or something like that. And it gets it wrong. And I do it again. If I'm like, and so finally I had this idea, wait a minute, I have Indian Siri. So I'm like, remind me to at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it was perfect. And he starts busting up laughing. And I'm like, and I preface with this. I said, now, I'm afraid that you're going to be offended. And he's like, oh, Americans, they get offended at everything. Go ahead. And so I'm talking to him, and I'm like, and I didn't do it the whole time, but I was just like, and then sometimes I do my Indian accent, and he's just laughing. He loved it. He loved it. He loved it. And you know what? Someday I'm going to invite him, but I found out, like, oh, how long have you been in the States? And he's been a couple years. I said, oh, your English is good. He's like, most people don't understand me. I'm like, well, I grew up around it, so it's good. Like, you know, and so you may say, wait a minute, Phil. I wasn't born in Greece. I don't have that. Like, how am I supposed to talk to the Indian person? Well, flip it on its head. If you've never been out of Wisconsin, use that. Where are you from? India. That would be the coolest thing. You know what? Make fun of yourself. I have never been out of Wisconsin. You'd be like, oh my goodness, are you serious? And it will open the conversation and say, then ask questions like, get curious. What's the weather like? Is it warm like this? He's like, oh, this is nothing, you know? Like, this is spring weather, you know? And the conversation, flip it on his head. Get out. The Lord may lead you to an Indian person. They may lead you to a purebred, like, you know, redneck Wisconsin person, you know? And flip it. It might lead you to, like, my aunt up in Marshfield. Oh, sure, yeah, sure, Philly, oh, you know, don't call me Philly. But she does. She's one person. She's like, oh, silly Philly. And it's like, oh, my word. You know, she's like the most, I don't know, like, I don't know if she's Norwegian or, anyways. Yeah, sure, you betcha, person you never know. And that is where you flip into that and say, you know what, I got a friend who goes to church. He's Norwegian. Are you stubborn like he is? You know, do you have relatives? Help me understand, you know, and you begin to, some connection, even if it's no connection. If God leads you, make the no connection a connection. Like, I have no clue about your country. Tell me about your customs. Tell me about your culture. You know, and you might be a target and might, you don't have that much time. But it, you know, like, if you're at Target and you don't have much time, like, hey, can we have coffee sometime? I mean, I don't like coffee. So can you have hot chocolate sometime? Do you like coffee? I'll drink hot chocolate. Whatever it may be. Hey, what Indian restaurant is the best, the most authentic? There's so many things that you can, like, number one, if you have exposure to different cultures and different things and different avenues to connect with them, do that. If you're not a car head like I am, bro, lift up your hood. I did that jokingly at Isaac's senior class thing. Like, Noah got in his car, like, vroom, vroom, you know, Noah Strand. And his car's just revving. And I'm parked right by him, so I just saunter over to my car. I just, because I like to be goofy. And I, like, pop my hood on my Honda Pilot. And I just, like, put it up. And I step back, like, yeah. And he gets out of the car, and he's just like, actually, this motor's really good. It's like a blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, my. No, I'm like, I don't. But why not? And I, that was a joke, but, like, why not say, hey, tell me about my motor? Because I have no clue. If you see a car guy or you see a Lego guy, I could tell you about Lego. Come connect. My office, it's about to get a refresh, maybe in August, of brand new themes. Christopher, where are you at? Anyways, the cars are coming in. So I've got my space Lego in my office. The cars are coming next. But connect with a Lego dude. How? I don't know. I mean, it's natural for me, but you, like, connect. Like, oh, my kids love Lego. They've scattered all over the place, you know. I don't understand Lego, you know. Use your naivety to your advantage and ask questions. Because you got nothing to say, and that's great, because they want to talk. Especially someone from a foreign field or a foreign land. If you talk, you show an interest. It's amazing how much you can get them to talk. Because no one talks to them. They're kind of ignored. And if we can, God is calling us to the ends of the earth, but the ends of earth are right here in Wisconsin and Dane County. Amen. Amen. If you're offended, I apologize. Scripture does say, offenses shall come. I'm glad I could be used of the Lord today. I'm sorry. My wife's not here. I'm being goofy. Sorry, honey. Amen. Amen. But I do. I'm not trying to be offensive. That's just who I am. That's what I grew up with. And honestly, they love it. They love that interaction. So Amen. Let's be challenged. I'm praying that God will use that comfortableness that I have with different nationalities to get outside of my comfort zone when it comes to talking about him. I don't want to just talk to the Indian guy. I want to talk to him about Jesus, find out about him, and hopefully reach him. And God is calling all of us to do the same. Amen. And Leonard Destin arrived on the Gulf of Mexico in 1835. Florida was 10 years from becoming a state, and many Native Americans still lived in the area. Leonard arrived in a schooner in the midst of a hurricane that had mercilessly claimed the lives of his father and his older brother. Leonard and the remaining crew grabbed a hold of debris as they swam for their lives to shore on a deserted barrier island. They lived there for 2 months as they endured thirst and exposure. Thankfully, another watercraft was passing by when the soon-to-be rescuers and Destin and his crew found each other. Destin later made his way to Key West, Florida. In time, Leonard acquired his own fishing craft, settled on the east end of Santa Rosa Island, close to present-day Destin, Florida. His life was one of hardship and trial as he eked out a living on the golf course, on the Gulf Coast, not the golf course, that too. Through the years, Leonard began to discover the rich world of seafood in the Gulf. He fished for oysters, crabs, and shrimp. Then one day, he went out 12 miles into the Gulf. Leonard and other fishers from Alabama and Mississippi discovered the 100-fathom curve, which is a 600-foot plunge into the ocean depths, where they could catch grouper, mackerel, and snapper in abundance. The Gulf became a miracle of supply in the world's seafood market. And because of his impact on the area, Leonard Destin has a city and tourist destination named after him in the state of Florida. His diligent and undying commitment to the art of finding seafood, catching it, and making it available to the world has cemented him in history. We've been called to be fishers of men, and we need the same diligence and commitment to reach people with the gospel. It's not always easy work. Many days there's no great catches, but the refusal to quit brings big reward. Sometimes it's just a little oyster, crab, but maybe you get outside of your comfort zone, and there's a big old grouper, snapper, big old swordfish. Why? Because you took the effort to get out there a little deeper, get outside of your comfort zone, away from shore, and just said, God, lead me. And if you ask him to lead you, he'll lead you. He'll lead you to those waters that have something that God wants to use, a soul that we can reach out to. God will, we got to follow the leading of God's Spirit. Share with those folks the same gospel that has changed our lives. There are hungry souls searching for a closer relationship with God. And God will do for them what he has done for us if we will be the Peter in the story, if we'll preach, if we'll talk. And we say, oh, I'm not a preacher. No, just talk. If you'll inquire about their country, if you'll be goofy with them, if you'll, show your naivety to cultures and you talk to them, or your neighbor, and you actually talk to your neighbor when they come out of their garage. God will do for them what he's done for us if we preach, if we speak, and someone is preached just like someone preached it to us. Amen. Would you stand with me?